The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello everyone, hope you're all well. Welcome along to the Racing Podcast, Friday's Racing Podcast here with William Hill. My voice is going to capitulate any second now. I'll just keep plugging through this point and then, yeah, we've got there now. It's Dave Kellner and Sam Turner in the studio to have a look ahead to Friday's racing action and go through some of the latest news in the world of racing.
Smooth start, Dave.
Smooth start,
smooth
as
start,
ever.
Yeah.
It won't disappear, this. Have you got any tips?
What for? A little frog,
yeah,
in the throat?
Yeah, just a little... Well, I had a chesty cough.
Have you?
I talked about the chesty cough yesterday. People will be sick to death about hearing about my chesty cough.
Yeah, I am already. We've only been talking about it 6 seconds. I'd say my way of getting over chest infections and chesty cough is hot lemon.
Yes.
Honey, brandy. Job done.
All in the same cup?
All in the same cup. Give it a good old stir. Plenty of honey. Coat the tubes. And a good old slug of brandy. You sleep like a baby then, Dave.
I like that.
Mm.
Any self-respecting individual would have restarted this podcast.
Mm. But you're not. You're not self-respecting, are you?
I don't think either of us are, are we?
No, not particularly. Plus, yeah. We're on a tight time scan, aren't we?
We are. We've got a schedule to keep.
We have. Lunch to buy.
Lunch to buy, precisely. We saw a really impressive performance yesterday by Radiator, one of Khalid Abdullah's horses at Lingfield, and she put herself into, not quite into the picture. She's like just on the outskirts of the 1,000 guineas.
Yeah,
as far as
she's on the frame of the picture.
She's on the frame of the picture. Yeah. 25-1 she is for the 1,000 guineas, but she couldn't have been any more impressive. I know it's a cliche, but she couldn't have been. 15-length winner.
You don't see many maiden winners winning 15 lengths, as some sage wisely pointed out. She's hosed up this Radiator. It was a really good performance, very stylish performance. She did grab the near side rail, which is often the Golden Highway at Lingfield, and she made full use of it. She exploited that decent strip of ground up the near side and absolutely hacked up and bolted away for some maybe modest rivals. Let's see how the form goes on and how those horses in behind go on as well in the weeks and months to come. But she could do no more than win. I was told by our very own Mikey Holding that she was an exceptional 2-year-old before she ran at Goodwood, and I tipped her at Goodwood, did one or two bits and pieces tipping her there. And, yeah, she just ran like a typical Sir Michael Stout horse, really. Just looked like she needed the experience. And she would have learnt a lot from that track as well, and the day out at Glorious Goodwood. She certainly put that to good practice yesterday.
And some people suggesting that Ryan Moore will have had mixed emotions riding a winner for Khalid Abdullah, that he knows that in the future James Doyle is going to be riding all their top prospects. But he just loves winning, doesn't he, Ryan Moore?
Yeah.
Surely he wouldn't be bothered, would he?
I don't think you can think about that. I don't think you can think, oh dear, I'm never going to sit on this filly again. Surely. I mean, these guys know much better than me. I've never ridden a horse, but especially not in competition. But they know that things can change. You know, jockeys can pick up long bands, they can get injuries. Who's to say that Prince Khalid wouldn't want Ryan to maintain the association with that filly after what's happened there? It does happen occasionally. And Sir Michael Stout has got a little bit of history of not sort of using the number one Prince Khalid Abdullah choice. You know, Richard Hughes had that job for 7 or 8 years, but didn't always have the rides on the stout horses. So
he came under a little bit of scrutiny for a ride on, was it Home Affairs?
Good knowledge, Dave. Good knowledge, yes. Yeah, who's told you that? exactly. That was the straw that broke the camel's back, I think, at Epsom the one day on Derby Day a good few years ago, when Home Affairs got in a pocket and couldn't get out. And I think that was it. That was the... as I say, the straw that broke the camel's back.
Well, what do you think about the appointment of James Doyle? I know this has been done to death, but I've not spoken to you about it. What do you think about that appointment?
I think it's a cracking appointment. I think he's one jockey that I've got an immense amount of time for. I don't think he's got any baggage. I think he's tactically pretty astute. I think he's a very modest lad, shows good humility, wants to learn. He's just a very, very likeable lad. I don't think he does a lot wrong during races. He's undemonstrative. He's a bit like Ryan Moore in a lot of respects, really. You know, he's a mini Ryan Moore. I think he's going to improve as time goes on. He's still very young in terms of a jockey, and he's learned his trade.
Do you think he's a little bit more open and approachable When you compare him to Ryan Moore,
anybody is.
I am talking about specifically off the track, and he seems to be a little bit more articulate.
Let's see how he. I mean, Ryan Moore, to be fair, has done 10, 12, 14 years, or however many years of Neanderthal interviews where he's been asked to say, "Is that a nice horse? Is that a?" And to be honest, you're going to get jaded with it, aren't you? I think. To be honest, Ryan could probably do with reining back the sarcasm a little bit and just perhaps... I can understand that he doesn't want to stand there for 10 minutes and talk about one horse and talk about the track and talk about this and that. You know, his job is to ride winners, but he's also to promote racing a little bit.
Yes.
So I think he could probably just drop the... Otherwise, I think some people see it as a bit of banter, and it's quite funny, his little banter with Bob Cooper, etc., at the races and that, but... I think sometimes you just need to give the press a little bit more. And James Dawes certainly does that. He's not jaded with the press and journalists as yet. And he's pretty fresh and happy to oblige with a few sound bites. But, you know, in fairness and in defence of Ryan Moore, he's just not one that enjoys small talk, is he?
No.
You know, and he's got a very, very, very smart sense of humour, to be honest. You know, he's very dry. But he just doesn't like the bull, does he?
No, he doesn't.
Which I can understand.
Yeah, I can as well. Away from Khalid Abdullah, Ryan Moore, and not away from James Doyle, though.
No.
We've got news on the front of the Racing Post that Al-Kazim is back in the champion picture. Mm. Al-Kazim currently trading at 7-2 here with Hills for the Irish Champion Stakes. Non-runner money back, but the rule 4 may apply on the website at the moment. I hope Al-Kazim does go for the Champion Stakes, because it would be fun to see him renew rivalry with Declaration of War.
It would be fantastic, and I think Roger has very wisely just left the horse in as a precaution, really. He'd look a bit of a fool if they had 20 millimetres of rain, which is forecast, and he's taken the horse out. He obviously feels that after York, the horse isn't jarred up and he's A1. But he just needs a little bit of juice. The ground at York was just too quick for him. He just didn't let himself down on it. But he travelled like the best horse throughout the race and just found it difficult to quicken off. You know, a bit like me and you when we're on the treadmill. It's difficult to quicken and lengthen, isn't it? You know, with our knees.
I can barely climb on the treadmill anymore.
Really?
It has got to that point.
You get heaved
moment.
Onto the treadmill, do you?
Get pushed on, and then they just let me lay down on it now.
Do they?
Yeah. I mean... All hope is lost, I think,
as far as
the treadmill's concerned.
I think so. So that's the reason I think he's been left in. They'll have a little view, won't they? They're not short of a few quid. And, you know, reading between the lines, I'm not sure the trainer was bonkers on going for the York race. It was more of an owner decision.
Yeah.
Which was a bit bizarre because the owner was away on holiday in France. But there you go. They pay the bills.
Yeah, I suppose it's about the cash, isn't it? Rather than watching the horse in the flesh.
Not short of a few quid, the owner, though, I'm told.
Okay.
So, wouldn't necessarily need the money from that little York sojourn. But, yeah, let's hope the horse bounces back to the form that he showed early on in the year at Royal Ascot and then the Eclipse.
The Fugue is actually the second favourite there at 11-4.
Yeah, and that would be a slight concern if they do have the 20 mil of rain, whether that's going to play to her strengths, obviously. I mean, she was back to her best in, you know, exhilarating fashion, wasn't she, at York? Travelled like a dream, like the horse we know she is, really. And the only issue is if the ground really does go against her. That'd be a shame. So if you're going to get the one, you're not going to get the other, really.
Exactly.
But if you get 10 or 12 mils of rain and there's a bit of dig in the ground, you might get both.
Let's hope so. Moving on to Friday's racing action, we've got meetings at Chepstow, Haydock, Kempton, Kilbeggan and Newcastle. Mm. And you picked out three selections for us, Sam.
I have. For what it's worth, I've got a stiff ass to follow. James put up a 10-1. James Milman put up a 10-1 winner, and his own horse, his father's horse, Doubles Duel. That was a 3-1 and a non-runner. So all those William Hill devotees who did the paper were on good terms.
That's good. That's good. But
on Wednesday.
But we're recording this prior to Thursday's racing action.
And who did that?
The Wizard did the podcast yesterday.
Great. So I've got a chance then.
So you've got a decent chance at Aachen.
I have got a chance.
We talked for most of yesterday's podcast about Jim McGraw, actually. Because obviously, the Wizard's good friends with Aussie Jim.
Yeah.
And he's doing his last racecourse commentary at Ascot on Saturday afternoon.
Yes, he is.
A guy that changed the... almost changed the nature of UK race commentaries.
Yeah, most
back
definitely.
When he started.
Most definitely, and I think it's rather unfortunate that the guy's had a fair bit of stick from all the Johnny-come-latelys like yourself to racing, who weren't around 20 years ago and listened to how good he was. I mean, he was absolute world-class, Jimbo. But you said
was there.
Well, yeah, in the last, I'd say, 2 or 3 years, he hasn't been at that level. But that's age and all sorts of things catching up with him, you know. And it's a game, really. I think it's one of the toughest jobs. Because, all right, football commentary is tough, but things aren't moving at 35, 40
no,
miles an hour in football,
racing
apart from football.
I think racing commentary is in a different league in terms of difficulty.
You're trying to commentate on, well, it could be 25, up to 25 moving animals going between 30 and 40 miles an hour, you know, within one furlong, which probably gets run in 11 seconds on the flat, and they're all spread all across the track.
Speed as well, you've got to do it quickly.
I mean, how your mind has to work in conjunction with your mouth is, you know, we have problems with that on a daily basis anyway, and we're not commentating on football or horse racing, are we? So I think Jim's had a bad press, really, from, I mean, the advent of Twitter and stuff like that means that all the armchair jockeys and the armchair commentators can get on and slaughter him and whatever. But if you go back and listen to those calls in the early to mid-90s and the late 90s even, you know, when he was in his pomp, he was different class.
Yeah, you said the Johnny-come-latelys, though. People that have just got into the racing in the last 5 years, they won't be bothered about what he's done 15, 20 years ago.
They
want the best people in the job now, which I think is fair.
Well, that's okay. Yeah, I take that on board. But I would also suggest to them that these guys who are probably late teens, early 20s, the keyboard warriors, the trolls on Twitter, and those sort of guys who like to get stuck into him and criticise him.
I know what you mean.
When they get to 45 and 50, they'll be looking back in 20, 25 years' time and saying, oh, yeah, Darren Owen, he was absolutely different class. And when the Wizard's over the hill and gone past it, you know, everyone will be saying, oh, he should retire, et cetera, et cetera. It's just the way of the world, you know. People nowadays, when you're young, if you're in your early 20s, et cetera, and I was doing it, and I probably still was at 30, to be honest, slaughtering people. But it's just the way of the world, isn't it? You know, we in Britain, we love to criticise and we never look at the positives and we never have respect for people who've been there and done it. You know, all of a sudden, life has become such an instant... you need instant gratification, and... These are people who've never made a mistake in their lives who are criticising Jim McGrath. Do you know what I mean? He has been absolutely brilliant for the game.
Yeah, and I look forward to hearing his last calls on the race course anyway on Saturday afternoon. Mm. He is doing the Melbourne Cup later on in the year.
Very good writer as well.
Yes.
You know, very good writer, decent presenter, you know, really good all-rounder. And yeah, he's made a good living out of the game, but he's been very good. And there's a number of commentators now that you can almost hear and see the Jimisms. Holty, obviously, and you know, one or two others.
I prefer Crockisms, but...
Crockisms is better, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Crockisms.
He changed the way racecourse commentating is done in this country.
Yeah, I think so.
Definitely.
And if you listen to the Aussie boys on ATR early in the morning on it, you know, they are good. They're really good. A lot of them are excellent.
I love that commentary style, I must admit.
Yeah, it's a bit different, isn't it?
It's a bit different. It's a bit different, and it paints more pictures. It's not as it's not as simplistic as the way it used to be done.
No, no, absolutely.
Okay, so on to your selections at Newcastle and at Kempton. As we mentioned, you've got a decent chance to emulate the Wizard.
Well, it's like me walking into a bar full of women after you've been in there, isn't it?
It's exactly, you know, like
I
that.
I couldn't think
of a better analogy.
I can't fail.
You cannot possibly fail. The 4-10 at Newcastle is your first pick. This is a maiden over a mile, 12 runners in total, Sam.
Yeah, and William Haggis won this 12 months ago with Sigawana. Paul Hannigan rode it, the filly for him then. And he's got Mufafar here with Tony Hamilton booked, a three-year-old, that finished third behind Narmin at Newmarket last time. Probably be favourite, I would think. But I'm going to take him on with a Brian Ellison four-year-old, Larnham and Ladd, who raced 3 weeks ago, didn't run too badly at all, behind Jiran over course and distance. Got one or two decent entries as well in the autumn, which suggests that they feel he's capable of winning a nice handicap somewhere down the line. And, you know, fingers crossed he can run well here. He's an ex-Charles Hills horse. They picked him up very cheaply, actually, but I think he races the Midland Park Racing colours. And Dale Swift is booked, so hopefully he can get us off to a good start in the 4-10.
Next up is the 440, a handicap of a mile and a half, nine runners, Sam.
Yeah, Vitace's the pick here, number seven on the card for Alistair Willans, whose stable had a real quiet spell for the first probably two-thirds of the season, really. But they've started to have winners under both codes now. The likes of Euston Square and Rivey River have scored for them recently. This horse has got a pretty respectable strike rate in Class 6 handicaps. He's 5 from 26. You know, 1 in 5 is pretty good for a horse rated of his level. He was a good second in a course and distance handicap behind Blue Top here last time. Michael O'Connell gets on very well with him, ridden him three times, won once and been placed on the other occasion. He's got good Newcastle form. He won't mind if the rains come. And fingers crossed he puts in a bold show in the 440.
And finally, the 620 at Kempton.
And finally, in the 620, the apprentice handicap that gets the card underway over a mile. Take a little bit of a chance here with Ocean Tempest, who's a horse that certainly deserves a win. Ryan Clark looks a good booking for John Ryan's four-year-old. His all-weather form figures read 1-3-2-3-2. So a very, very consistent horse on the synthetic surface. Adam Kirby rode him at Wolverhampton last time behind Mount Tiger. He dropped his whip a furlong out, tried to make all the running on him. I don't think it cost him victory, but he certainly would have finished closer than the margin of defeat, which was a length. Previously, he was only beaten a nose behind Angelic Upstart at Newmarket. That was over seven. The mile is the trip that he wants. Ryan Clark, good jockey, and he's nicely berthed for a horse that wants to be ridden aggressively.
Pretty sure which one of your best tip is on the podcast. I think it's brandy, lemon, honey, hot water.
Yes.
Stir it all around and drink it.
Yeah,
that's the best.
That's the only winner. That's the only guaranteed winner, that is, most definitely. And even if it doesn't sort out your chest infection, you know, a couple of those, you won't care anyway.
Thanks, Sam. It's been a pleasure having you on the podcast, the Friday's Racing podcast. And thanks to you for listening. You can download all the podcasts at williamhill.com/podcasts. And make sure you tune in to William Hill Racing Radio Live for all Friday's action. We'll speak soon.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.